أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special grace and mercy. We need to remind ourselves of the reasons of his expulsion, because these characteristics are the ones whereby he will try to influence us, to deviate us. One is his arrogance. He knew what was right, yet he refused to accept and submit. Two was his defiance. He knew what was wrong, yet he deliberately committed the evil act. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We turn to God for help and guidance for three reasons. We believe he is Allah, number one. He is the absolute perfect being, the source of all perfection. And therefore none can achieve any goodness or guidance except if he wills it so. And secondly, we turn to him because we believe he is Rahman. Each one of us, in fact every entity in the universe, is a manifestation of his love, of his mercy, of his attention, of his rahmah, whereby we come into existence, we grow and develop and move toward our perfection moment by moment by receiving his mercy. And thirdly, we turn to him because we believe he is Rahim. His extra mercy, his continuous love, no, his abundant grace is available to those amongst us who believe in him, who accept his guidance and who submit to his laws. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet of Islam, whom we believe to be the most perfect human being, who managed to reach the pinnacle of perfection for two reasons. Number one, his understanding of who God is and of God's perfect, unlimited, infinite attributes of love, of mercy, of grace, of knowledge, of wisdom, of power, of majesty. All perfect qualities. And his understanding of how God, moment by moment, with total control over every particle in the universe and with wisdom and love, is directing the universe gradually toward its goal of creation, which is perfection. This maximum understanding in the Prophet, secondly, translated itself into action, such that in his thinking, in his feeling, in his behavior, in his public life, economic sphere, political, social, cultural, family, in all domains of his life, the Holy Prophet was the most submissive and humble to the will of God, and hence the most perfect. And we send our salutations and greetings on his holy progeny, who are the next best in perfection, and especially so on the third holy Imam, whom we have congregated to commemorate. His movement against injustice and his efforts to establish justice have become a role model for all times, a source of inspiration up until such time when the global movement to establish justice on the earth shall take place. Scholars in Islam, elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The purpose of commemoration, which is to mourn and to weep and to lament on the tragedy of Karbala, which has been recommended and which has been emphasized by the holy Imams, has got several goals and purposes. Some of them we can try to understand, for example, from the ziyarat we have been instructed to recite. So, the ziyarah of both the third holy Imam, of Abbas bin Ali, may peace be upon them all, contains these phrases whereby we tell ourselves that قلبي لكم تابع ومسلم. My heart is in total submission to your cause. I pledge my obedience. وَنُصْرَتِي لَكُمْ مُعَدَّةٌ. No, I declare my readiness to participate for this cause. فَمَعَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ لَا مَعَ عَدُوِّكُمْ. I declare that I will join your camp and your camp alone and not the camp of those who are your opponents. Or that famous phrase, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Oh, I wish. I've got this intense desire and zeal. Oh, I wish I were there at your time so that I would be in your camp and I would have supported and sacrificed myself for you. We need to be aware of the possibility of making these claims as a ritual. No, these claims as empty, hollow pretensions. In the Quran, incidentally, the same phrase, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَهُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, appears in Surah Ali Imran, in that section where there's discussion about the battle of Uhud and the reasons of failure. And one of them was that of the munafiqeen. One of the qualities of the munafiqeen is that he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَهُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Munafiq. In chapter 4, Surah Nisa, ayah number 72, Allah says, وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ. There are amongst you, O believers, those who are not only not willing to participate, to sacrifice, they also discourage others. They lack courage and they discourage others. فَإِنْ أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبًا. When you are sacrificing and participating in this path and you face afflictions and you suffer, you know what is their impression and their response? They say, قَالَ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ إِذْ لَمْ أَكُنْ مَعَهُمْ شَهِيدًا. Oh, I thank Allah for this blessing that I did not go out into war with them. Look at them, they suffered. I stayed home, I'm comfortable. And then the next ayah says, but if you don't face affliction in the wartime, rather you have victory and you get war booty, you know what they say? يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَهُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Oh, I wish I were there so I could get the war booty. So we need to be careful. Inasmuch as when we lament and get these feelings of hatred against those who were the evil perpetrators of this horrific crime, and as much as we get feelings of love towards those who supported the cause and sacrificed, our desire to participate should be genuine. Question: how do I assess myself? Where do I stand? One possible way is to look at the tragedy of Karbala and how it was caused by the people of Kufa. Karbala took place because of several reasons. The fact that Imam was forced to make a bay'ah and he would never submit. The fact that there was invitation from the people of Kufa. And the fact that he himself has assessed the state of the Ummah that it is deteriorating and there's only one way to save it, and that is to make an uprising. Of these three causes, perhaps the most important is the third one. But the second one also is quite important. It was the invitation by the people of Kufa that made Imam Hussein then leave Mecca and head towards Kufa. Imam arrived in Mecca in the beginning month of Sha'ban. And around the beginning of Ramadan, he started receiving letters of invitation from Kufa. Multiple, hundreds, no, thousands. Some have estimated of the total number, if there were more than 10,000 per day, he was receiving almost 600 letters. And yet, when he did respond, and he sent his ambassador, Muslim bin Aqil, they abandoned him. Not only did they abandon Muslim, but they joined the opposite camp, and they were ready to come and fight against him in Karbala. Question: how did this reversal take place? invitation turning towards rejection. No. Readiness to kill the imam, God forbid. Where would we stand? Why did this reversal take place amongst the Kufans? Look at the letters they sent, for example. They were those who were loyal, committed Shias in Kufa. People like Habib bin Madahir, people like Muslim bin Awsajah of Bani Asad, people like Sulaiman bin Surad Khuza'i, Musayyab bin Najaba Khazari, people like Rufa'a bin Shaddad, those who later on participated in the Battle of Tawabin, who could not participate in Karbala because they were arrested and sent to jail. These people, when they sent the letters, their letters were serious. Amma ba'd. فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي قَصَمَ عَدُوَّكَ الْجَبَّارَ الْعَنِيدِ We thank Allah that your enemy, the tyrant, has died. Referring to Muawiyah. الَّذِي انْتَزَى عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فَابْتَزَّهَا أَمْرَهَا وَغَصَبَهَا فَيْئَهَا The one who took power by force, who imposed himself upon the people, who exploited economically the people, ثُمَّ قَتَلَ خِيَارَهَا وَاسْتَبْقَى شِرَارَهَا He then, anyone who opposed him, he would kill, especially the virtuous, and he allowed the evil ones to get power and survive in his regime. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا إِمَامٌ Now we are left without a leader. فَأَقْبِلْ We're inviting you. This is one letter. There were others who wrote letters, and they came to Karbala in the opposite camp later on. People like Hajjar bin Abjar, people like Amr bin Hajjaj Zubaydi, the head of 500 horses who were blocking the Imam to the river Euphrates. People like Uzra ibn Qais, the head of the infantry. People like Shabath bin Rabai, who later on even built a mosque in gratitude for the blessing of the defeat of the Imam. These same people wrote letters to the Imam, yet they reversed and changed sides. Two groups, extremists, those who were loyal supporters and managed to come to Karbala and supported the Imam, and those who went to the opposite camp. And of course, in between there were the majority who saw the tide moving towards the Imam, so they also participated and sent letters. What reversed the whole tide could be perhaps three things. Number one, fear. Number two, favors. And number three, lack of faith. When Ibn Ziyad came to Kufa, he masked and disguised himself, and people mistook him in identity for Imam Hussein. He saw the support that people of Kufa gave to Imam Hussein and the love that they had for him. Ibn Ziyad did not come with an army from Sham. He did not even come with an army from Basra. He was the governor in Basra, and then he was sent to Kufa. He used the very same people of Kufa, won them over, and used them against Imam Hussein. With what instruments? Propaganda. With what instruments? Power. With what instruments? With money and profit. So either he buys the silence, or he deceives the mind, or if none of the two works, he terrorizes them. These are the three main instruments. And subsequently, when Imam Hussein makes his movement from Makkah onward to Kufa, all those visitors that he sees on the way, and he asks them, what is the situation in Kufa? And the common response is, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَعَكْ Their hearts are with you. وَسُّيُوفُهُمْ عَلَيْكْ But their swords are against you. Why? Because Ibn Ziyad terrorized them. Why? Because their leaders, tribal leaders, were bought over. Their coffers were filled. Imam Hussein also complained of this on the day of Ashura in Karbala. قَدْ مُلِئَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ Your stomachs are filled. You've been bought over. Haram. فَطُبِعَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ Now your hearts are dead. Believers, or weak in faith, but bought over. Incidentally, These are some of the same motives that plagued the Prophet. You look at the Battle of Uhud, and you look at the Battle of Ahzab. Same problems. And the solution is offered in the Quran. How to overcome fear, one. And how to resist favor so that your silence is not bought. For example, in Surah Ali Imran, that's chapter 3, ayah number 154 onwards, there's a description of this group of people and their psychology. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً. After the Battle of Uhud, you were distressed. Allah sent down tranquility and peace. He made some of you go to sleep. نُعَاسًا يَغْشَى طَائِفَةً مِّنْكُمْ. Some of you rested. Others could not even rest. They were worried. You know why? Fear. وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. They were more concerned about their nafs than for the Prophet. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. We are defeated. We are about to be defeated. Islam has lost. God has abandoned us. Is there a God? Oh, amazing. What weakness of faith can do in times of challenges. Look at the response Allah says, gives. And they say, يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Look at the army, how big it is. There is no victory for us. And Allah responds, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. Everything belongs to God and God alone. Where is your faith? يَقُولُونَ لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ مَا قُتِلْنَا هَاهُنَا. If ever we were on the right path, we would not have died in the war. Look at us, how many of us have died in the Battle of Uhud. And Allah responds by saying, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Who decides you're afraid of death? And that's how the tyrant terrorizes you. He frightens you with death. Ibn Ziyad came and said, If the village or the tribal elders cannot persuade you to join the army against Imam Hussein, he brought a few soldiers, he executed them in public, and then he told the rest, you see your consequence of refusal? He came with a very, very good face. He told them, Ana, in the Masjid al-Jami' of Kufa, Ana, لِمُحْسِنِكُمْ كَالْوَالِدِ الْبَرِّ. If you do good with me, I'm just like a parent who's very kind and compassionate. وَسَوْطِي وَسَيْفِي عَلَى مَنْ تَرَكَ أَمْرِي. But beware, I've got my whip. No, I got my sword. I can persecute. No, I can execute you. Fear. Look at the Quran's response to that. You think death and life is in the hands of Ibn Ziyad? Oh. If Allah has decreed life for you, even if you go to the battlefield, you will not die. If Allah has decreed death for you, even if you don't go to the battlefield and sleep at home, you'll die. Understand this reality. Why the fear? If you have determined that the cause is correct, one, and that everything you have is from God, two, then fight. Either it's victory, which is happiness, or it's shahada, even greater happiness. We were recommended to recite 2 rak'ah of prayers on the day of Ashura. One of the surahs is Surah Ahzab. Surah Ahzab describes the battle of Ahzab. Strong believers, how they were firm. Weak believers and munafiqeen. Look at the description, chapter 33, beginning from ayah number 9 onwards to ayah number 26. 17 verses discusses the psychology of the munafiqeen and the weak believers and the strong believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the great blessing of God that enabled you to achieve victory. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. They attacked you from all sides. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. They overwhelmed you initially, 10,000, and you were just 3,000. And you were so scared, you were about to die from fear. هُنَالِكَ بَتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُ زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Even the believers were shaken up. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. The Prophet promised us victory. 10,000, we're just 3,000, we've finished. God has let us down. The Prophet has deceived us. This was the response. Can you imagine what was happening in the minds of the people in Kufa? This is the same thing that happened in the Battle of Uhud, that happened in the Battle of Ahzab. Number two, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبَ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ. Some of them on the battlefield told the others, O people of Medina. No, they didn't even use the honorific title of Medina of the Prophet. Medina is gone, it's no longer of the Prophet. Islam is finished. O people of Yathrib, لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ. You can't stand the attack of the enemy. You better return. Yet a third group says, they came to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, inna buyutana awra. Our houses are exposed, we are weak, allow us to go back. And look at the, وَلَوْ دُخِلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَقْطَارِهَا وَسُئِلُوا الْفِتْنَةَ لَأَتَوْهَا. And the weakness of their faith was so acute that if ever the enemy were to enter Medina and they would ask them, become kafir, no, come with us and fight against the mu'mineen, they would have done it. Look at the psychology. Look at the response now. Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَانُوا عَاهَدُ اللَّهِ. You made a promise. When you accepted God and the Prophet, that means you made a promise to support till death. You are now going against your promise. One. Two. Bigger problem with you is, قُلْ لَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْفِرَارُ إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. You think you can flee and avoid death? So what? So you can live for a few more days? وَإِذَنْ لَا تُمَتَّعُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. When you are afraid of death in the cause of truth, therefore you prefer life under falsehood, you are beginning to open the doors of humiliation. What happened to Kufa after Ibn Ziyad came to power and after Karbala? Humiliation. قُلْ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَعْصِمُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ سُوءًا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ رَحْمًا. Why don't you understand? The reality is nothing in this world will ever transpire, occur, happen unless Allah wills it. If He wills goodness for you, there is no power that can stop it. If He wills affliction for you, there is no power that can protect you. If He wills death for you, even if you're at home, away from the battlefield, you will die. If He wills life for you, even if you are in the center of the battlefield, you will survive. If everything is in the hands of God, one, if you have submitted yourself to Him, two, and if He has asked you for jihad, three, and therefore whatever He asks you is good for you, four, what are you worried about? Where is your faith? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Surely for you in the Prophet is a wonderful model. The Prophet is a model of courage, of commitment, of readiness to die in the cause of God. In Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said, Salatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, كُنَّا إِذَا حْمَرَّ الْبَأْسُ اتَّقَيْنَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. When the heat of the battle used to increase and people were dying, we used to take protection with the Prophet. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَّا أَقْرَبْ إِلَى الْعَدُوِّ مِنْهُ. There was no one closer to the enemy than the Prophet. Fearlessness, because you accept nothing can happen but if Allah wills. Who is this enemy? Alive by God's rahmah. Who is this enemy? This sword is sharp by God's will. How can he use the sword? With the strength God gives him.
When will the sword touch my skin when Allah allows it? When will the sword cut my skin and I die if Allah wills it? Why should I be afraid? This was the model in Karbala, Ali Akbar, on the battlefield. The best person who resembles the Prophet, Ali Akbar. Look at his battle cry. أنا علي ابن الحسين ابن علي. If you don't know me, let me declare my identity. Your core enmity is with Hussein. I'm proud to be his son. Oh, you brought to me immunity because my maternal grandmother, Layla, the mother of Layla, was from the family of Bani Umayyah. They brought protection for Ali Akbar. They said, because you belong to our family. Ali Akbar's response was, لَقَرَابَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَوْلَى بِالرِّعَايَةِ مِنْ قَرَابَةِ يَزِيد بِنْ مُعَاوِيَةِ The relationship, not biological only, spiritual relationship with the Prophet is more worthy of savoring, of cherishing than that of Yazid bin Muawiyah. I declare, أنا علي بن الحسين بن علي ونحن وبيت الله أولى بالنبي. We are proud to be attached and obedient to the cause of the Prophet. من شبث ذاك وشمر الدني. We are more attached than this Shabath bin Rabai and Hajjar bin Abjar and Amr bin Hajjad Zubaydi and Shimr ibn al-Jawshan. أَدْرِبُكُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى يَلْتَوِي ضَرْبَ غُلَامٍ هَاشِمِيٍّ عَلَوِي وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْكُمُ فِينَ ابْنُ الدَّعِي. I'm going to use my sword and I'm going to use the maximum effort I have in my body to fight against you till I won't break, my sword may break. And I am a youth from the family of Hashim. No, Alawi. I swear by God, with every ounce of energy that I have, we will never submit to these rulers who are from an illegitimate background. Notice the fearlessness and therefore the fierceness. And therefore the determination and mercy from God for victory. Assalamu alayk ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bi fina'ik wa anakhat bi rahlik. Alaykum minna jami'an. Salamullah abadan ma baqina wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.